Game number 66 for the Boston Celtics at home against the Houston Rockets. This is the Celtics pregame show on CLNS Radio. Thanks for tuning in to CLNS Radio here on the 11th of March, 2016. I am Larry H. Russell, to be later joined by Jonathan Fagan, Rockets beat reporter for the Houston Chronicle, to look ahead to tonight's contest in Boston with a 32-32 Houston Rockets take on the 39-26 Boston Celtics. Tip-off is at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and tonight's telecast will air locally on Comcast Sports, Net New England, and 98.5 FM, the Sports Hub, here on the local airwaves. The Celtics enter the game as 5.5-point favorites, over-under of 221. Tonight's officials are Derek Stafford, Eric Dalen, and Michael Smith. Injuries for tonight, Terrence Jones is questionable for the Rockets with an illness, as is Jared Sullinger for the Celtics. And for the first time in quite a while, Kelly Olynyk is not ruled out for tonight's game. He, too, is listed as questionable, and if he doesn't play tonight, it would be safe to assume he'd give it a go Tuesday in Indiana. The Celtics' home winning streak is on the line tonight. The Celts have won 14 straight in Boston after a 116-96 win against the Grizzlies on Wednesday. Boston wraps the week up with tonight's game, as they'll be off until this coming Tuesday. Houston is nearing the end of their road trip. Winners in Philadelphia on Wednesday. They've got a game in Charlotte tomorrow night. The Rockets are coached by J.B. Bickerstaff after firing Kevin McHale 11 games into the season. On the court, they are led by James Harden, who leads the team in points, assists, efficiency, and minutes. Former All-Star center Dwight Howard leads the Rockets in rebounding and shot blocking, while also being the Rockets' second most efficient player. Houston comes into the game scoring 107.3 points per 100 possessions, which is good for 8th in the league. However, the Rockets possess one of the league's worst defenses, which is ranked 22nd. For a more in-depth look at the Rockets, let's go to the wall and speak to those butter side downers. Jonathan Fagan, Rockets beat reporter for the Houston Chronicle. Our segment with Jonathan is brought to you by SeatGeek. Have you ever been frustrated trying to buy tickets online? Most sites make it complicated, and they all try to sneak in huge fees at checkout. That is why you need to try SeatGeek. They've made it easier than ever to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. Listeners of this show get a $20 rebate on their first SeatGeek purchase. A big fat Andrew Jackson back your way. How do you do it? Download the free SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo code and enter promo code CelticsBeat. That's CelticsBeat, all one word. CelticsBeat, no space. And SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first purchase. What a deal. Download the free SeatGeek app to claim your $20 rebate today. Jonathan, 9 months ago, these very Rockets were in the Western Conference Finals. They come into Boston to face the Celtics as underdogs, a 500 team, and fighting for their playoff lives. We only got a few minutes here, and I want to get some other things, but how in the world can you describe what has gone wrong with the Rockets over the course of the last 9 months?
Well, it's sort of like coaches say when they try to improve a team, it's a process. Getting to this point was a process, too, that began really in the off season, where a lot of guys came into camp not really in great shape. James Harden had a sprained ankle over the summer. He reported he was just trying to work his way back. And things sort of snowballed. They got off to a really bad start. Dwight Howard missed almost the whole preseason. Terrence Jones, who was the starting power forward at the time, missed most of the preseason. Donatas Motiejunas, who was last year's starter, missed all of the preseason. They weren't ready to start the year. Josh Smith was in Los Angeles with the Clippers. And so they started very badly. Three straight 20-point losses. They reacted poorly to that. At the time, they were trying to integrate Ty Lawson as a starter, and James Harden struggled. He was really off with his shot, so he went back to doing what he's always done, and that worked well, but it sort of moved them away from having that second playmaker. And then on top of all that, Lawson never found a rhythm with this team, whether he was with Harden, off the bench, without him, in any combination. He was playing regular minutes night after night and not producing at all. And the power forwards weren't producing at all. Then on top of all that, they weren't defending. They were defending very poorly because this is a team that when things go badly thinks, we're going to score. We're going to score more. We'll outscore them. And so it's taken a long time to work their way through that long list of issues, which now they kind of have done, but they're still what they are. They still have to keep improving, but they don't have those issues hanging over them the way they did. So a lot of things combined. There was no one thing you could point to, but you add all those up, and that's quite a long list.
You mentioned at the very beginning of those points there that there were a lot of players that came into camp out of shape, and I remember Kevin McHale said on a TNT broadcast recently that he was worried at the beginning of the year in training camp because of that very reason, and he didn't seem there was a really good feel in training camp despite being in the Western Conference Finals 5 months prior to that. What were you sort of feeling at that time in September, October there when everything was sort of going down in training camp?
Well, you couldn't judge because they weren't playing. So, you know, Harden was trying to push himself to get back into shape, and he played like 22 minutes in a first half or around that against Dallas, and he looked real good. But we asked, why were you playing so much in a half in the preseason? And he said, you know, I missed the preseason, and I mean the off season. I didn't do the work I would normally do. The ankle's better now, but I need to really push myself. And then a game later, he got hurt. He bumped knees in a game in McAllen, Texas, and he was out for a week. Ty Lawson got hit in the head, and he was out for that same week. And so you couldn't judge it because you couldn't see them. But then they played the Spurs, their last preseason game, and they did not look ready at all. I mean, not even close. At that point, I thought, well, they're in trouble, but there were lots of times they were in trouble last year, and Harden would just carry them through. They'd find just enough way to stay close, and Harden would finish it. When the season started, he just wasn't ready to do that. His shot was way off, and he was doing a little more catch-and-shoot than he used to. So they lost those three straight, all by 20. And by then, you had a pretty good idea. This is going to be rocky for a while. The thing you couldn't have guessed is that they'd fire McHale after 11 games because they thought the world of him 2 weeks earlier, then all of a sudden they fired him. And so it really was just, as you would say, a perfect storm of problems.
Yeah, there was a lot of controversy surrounding that. And you mentioned James Harden, how he didn't get off to the best start of the season because he was out of shape. And for the longest time, he just wasn't that guy that was having the near MVP season as he did last year. Are we starting to see, though, now in recent weeks, that guy return?
Yeah, absolutely. But I wouldn't agree that for the longest time you didn't see that. When after those first three games, and he went back to, okay, I'm going to handle the ball, I'm going to do what I did, he started running off 38-point games and 40-point games. They won their next four, and he's putting up huge numbers. But he was carrying them, so they weren't fixing anything. He was just carrying them. So when he went back to doing what he does, he started putting up gigantic numbers almost right away. That second week of the season, you know, I would maintain that four-game winning streak not only was misleading, but it was damaging because they didn't develop anything beyond go get them, James, carry us. And they needed to be more well-rounded than have him just carry them. But now you're right. He is absolutely more like he was last year. Last year, you know, he's not a guy who defends just naturally. He has to sort of tell himself, remind himself, focus in, you know, really bear down, lock in defensively. And he has done that more and more since the All-Star break. They sort of got together in Tempe after the break and decided, okay, this is our reset. This is the start of another season. And at that point, I think he became more committed to defending. And, of course, his offensive game is there. Plus, they're playing a small lineup a lot more. And that really works for him because it gives him spacing to work in the middle and attack. And when he does that, he's a very good – obviously, he's a great scorer, but he's a very good passer, playmaker as well. And so that has worked very well since the All-Star break.
Let's talk about more about this Rockets team as a collective unit. What would you say are some of the strengths of this Rocket team from a team standpoint? I know, for example, the Celtics struggle against some talented big guys in the league, and Houston does have that. But that really has not been able to show itself here in recent weeks as the Celtics have been able to get away with it in some recent matchups. What does Houston have going for them, and would that allow them to exploit a weakness that the Celtics have?
Well, the best strength is when they spread the floor and let Harden operate in the middle. You know, Dwight's playing very well since the All-Star break, and really before that, big game in the last game before the break. And so you can get the ball to Dwight Howard. He's running the floor very well. When he does that, he gets good low post position. You know, I constantly hear how, well, the Rockets just can't give him enough touches when they have James Harden. Well, in truth, Dwight Howard has more low post touches than anybody in the NBA this year per game, more low post touches than anyone, and he's got the second most paint touches of anyone in the NBA. So he's actually getting the ball inside, and he's been very effective. He's obviously shooting a very high percentage, He sort of is the anchor for a very porous defense, and so he has a tough job defensively to do. So Dwight is obviously one of those strengths. One of the real good strengths they have, Trevor Ariza, they can throw at anyone and have thrown him at anyone, from Anthony Davis and Dirk Nowitzki and Zach Randolph to Damian Lillard, Chris Paul. There's a guy. Now, obviously, the Celtics aren't built towards one guy carry the offense. That's not their style. But if you get games against teams like that, they can put him on just about – he's had time on DeMarcus Cousins. So you could put him on really anyone, and that's one of the strengths they have, because he is so remarkably versatile that, again, it's not a very good defensive team. In fact, for most of the year, it would be described as very bad. But that is a strength to their defense, is his pretty remarkable versatility. And he's coming up with steals every game. He's had at least two steals for 13 straight games, the longest stretch of his career and the longest anyone's had since Chris Paul in the 2013-14 season. So that's his strength. Those things add up. And then the bench is starting to show some signs. It's very inconsistent, but you know, because they have some inconsistent shooters. But it's sort of coming together. And that small unit really is a night. They play well together, and it fits very well with what Harden does.
All right, so the $64,000 question, Jonathan, before we get you out of here, how's this one going down tonight?
So if I get it right, do I get $64,000?
No.
I guess we should raise the number. I would think the Celtics at home have won 14 straight. The Rockets, that'll be the fourth game of a road trip. And, you know, the Rockets haven't played consistently enough, even though they're playing better. They had to come back from 18 in Toronto. They had to hold off a fourth-quarter rally in Philadelphia. If the Rockets played just not the best they could possibly play, but the way they've been playing in stretches, if they could get that out to 40 minutes to 48, you maybe would never expect all 48, but if they can get it closer to 40, then I'd say, yeah, they should beat that team. But the Celtics give you what they've got for a larger percentage of the game than almost anybody, while the Rockets are so incredibly up and down during games, I don't think you win on the road like that.
Jonathan Fagan, Rockets beat reporter for the Houston Chronicle. Can follow Jonathan on Twitter at Jonathan_Fagan. Thanks so much for your time, my friend.
It's my pleasure.
Tonight, here on March 11th, the Boston Celtics can actually match last year's win total of 40 wins. And then the question becomes, where do they finish after that, and how much can they add on? But staying with tonight, simulations do have the Celtics winning 58% of these matchups, but is that accounting for the questionable Terrence Jones and Kelly Olynyk, who are both up in the air for each team? But some history between these two teams. Boston won in Houston at the beginning of the season, 111-95. Prior to that, the Rockets had won four previous meetings, including a matchup last January, the last time these two teams played in Boston. To the draft pick watch, both the Brooklyn Nets and Minnesota Timberwolves are in action tonight. Brooklyn is in Philadelphia to wrap up a 9-game road trip in which the Nets had already grabbed 3 wins on. That's not good, although they did lose their last game against Toronto. They will face the hapless Philadelphia 76ers, who will likely play without Jahlil Okafor. Brooklyn currently possesses the fourth worst record in the NBA, but just one measly game in the loss column in front of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Yes, Minnesota does owe Boston a second-round draft choice, currently sitting at number 35 overall, but it's all about that Nets pick. The Nets are favored against the shorthanded Sixers, while Minnesota travels to Oklahoma City for an 8 p.m. tip. That's not good. So you got both Brooklyn and the Wolves. They are now neck and neck in this race. Dallas Mavericks, the other first-round draft choice that's headed to Boston. They are losers of 4 in a row, but they still remain comfortably in the NBA's Western Conference playoffs due to how bad the Jazz have been recently. Dallas plays tomorrow afternoon at home against the Indiana Pacers. Programming notes, remember, CLNS Radio is the leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, and we here at the network go round the clock and cover every square inch of that parquet floor. The Garden Report, that is on the air tonight, the only post-game show shot on the Garden floor, and it is shot in crystal clear high definition. CLNS Radio, Celtics locker room reporter Jared Weiss and company. The Garden Report breaks down the latest contest at the TD Garden while also providing raw and uncut videos from the locker room and press table. Available on YouTube.com/CLNS Radio. That is YouTube.com/CLNS Radio. And subscribe to get all of this content delivered right to your computer and or listening device. There is a bit of a wait before the Garden Report hits the realm of the digital world, but there is no wait whatsoever for the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show. Head on over to CLNSradio.com immediately following the final buzzer to listen to the live broadcast of the postgame show. And if you want to get your voice heard on these airwaves, call 347-215-7771. That's 347-215-7771 to pitch your opinion on the show after the game. And of course, the number one podcast on the web, which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat, this Sunday, released very first thing, and I mean very first thing in the morning, on iTunes, Stitcher, and CLNSradio.com. This week's show will feature Michael Lee of The Vertical, the new wildly successful webpage from Adrian Wojnarowski. Subscribe to Celtics Beat on iTunes now to not only get the show, but yes, the ticket giveaway, March 23rd against the Toronto Raptors. Enter the drawing for the pair of tickets by, yes, you know, subscribe, rate, and review Celtics Beat on iTunes. Subscribe, rate, and review Celtics Beat on iTunes. Get that review up there so we can see your name, to throw your name into the hat. And remember, you cannot write a review without a subscription. So you must do all three. It sounds like a lot of work, but it's not. It doesn't take any longer than 20 seconds. Trust us. The drawing will be on March 20th, that edition of Celtics Beat. So get in this now by subscribing, rating, and writing a review for Celtics Beat on iTunes. We'll see everyone soon. We will be back here in this space on Tuesday for Boston's next game in Indiana against the Pacers. Joining us will be former Celtic, as a matter of fact, but current Pacers color commentator Quinn Buckner. A huge game on Tuesday for playoff positioning, but now the task at hand tonight against the Rockets. We thank Jonathan Fagan of the Houston Chronicle for providing us with his insight, and we thank you for listening, as always, for today's Boston Celtics pregame show with LHR on CLNS Radio. This is LHR signing off.